can be there to spend more time with you. If I had one wish, shopping bags, popping tags, do it all for you, yeah. If I had one wish, I can make all of your dreams come true, girl. If I had one wish, yeah. You would never sleep and not alone, I won't leave you lonely. Baby, you know that I'm busy. I be ripping and running streets, I'm trying to get it, get it. Gotta take care of my children. Baby mama, they just be tripping, they don't get it, don't get it. And I know it seems like I put you last, but it ain't the case. I be so busy grinding, trying to make a way. I hope you can understand, just be patient, babe. Oh girl, go ahead and set the date. Let me know just the time and place that you wanna just rearrange for, so we can reunite. You got me so excited. Give you everything you wish for. I won't wish.
Hey, 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 how y'all doing? It's your girl, Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. And we are here with episode 84 of The Core Queen Chat. Today's episode is called When the Wrong One Comes, with the one and only Bishop Greg Davis. If you don't know who this man is, I promise you, you've probably been under a rock. But we're going to bring you out today so you can understand and enjoy these gems that he's been dropping all over social media. So I will read his bio, and it is long, but it is worth it. I promise you. So Bishop Gregory M. Davis Sr. is a distinguished spiritual leader and global influencer, recognized as one of the most sought after bishops in the United States. With over 30 years of dedicated ministry, he has spent his life spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing the oil of joy with communities nationwide. Bishop Davis has been a prominent figure in media for over a decade, hosting Rejoice in the Word and Greg Davis Live on the Word Network, where he served for 16 years until November of 2022. He also had many syndicated radio shows in the city of Detroit, Michigan, and across the nation, including the Greg Davis Show. Additionally, he played a key role in launching the Impact Television Network, expanding his reach and influence. An accomplished author, Bishop Davis has penned over 20 self-published books, including the popular title When the Right One Comes and his latest release, When the Wrong One Comes. He also hosts the When the Right One Comes podcast and studio, where he shares insights on relationships with nearly 500,000 followers across social media platforms. Growing up on the east side of Detroit since the age of 9, he has also made his mark as a gospel artist, further solidifying his legacy as a compassionate leader dedicated to uplifting others. He is a gospel artist with 3 projects, Today Is Your Day for a Miracle, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, featuring the hit single, Lord, I Need a Miracle Right Now, which is played on Kirk Franklin's Praise Station on Sirius XM Radio and radio stations across the country. He is signed with Black Smoke Music Worldwide and has recently released his new single, God Made It Fail. Now, that's the bar right there. God Made It Fail. Y'all, welcome to the show, Bishop Gregory M. Davis Sr. I think he's ready.
Hello.
There it is. We don't see you on camera, Bishop.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me.
There he is.
There we go. I was sharing this on my platforms. I'm sorry. It's no good problem. To be here.
Thank you so much for coming. I am honored to have you on the show. I was talking to my engineer earlier and just letting him know that he needs to follow you. Everybody need to follow Bishop Greg Davis. I'm telling you, we need you, more people like you in this world, especially right now.
You're so kind. I appreciate it. It's good. It's good to be here. And I'm glad to share tonight. I've been looking forward to it.
Likewise. You've been stepping on my toes for a while now. You've been helping me out. You've been guiding me. You ain't even know you was guiding me. So I appreciate all the knowledge that you do drop.
I have a lot of people like that.
Yes. I'm like, oh Lord. Okay. I got to change some. Hold on. Let me course correct.
No problem. It's good. So how
did you first step into the space of helping singles navigate love and dating?
I became a single. Oh. I became a single. I went through a divorce maybe 14, 15 years ago to someone I was married for 20 years. We're best of friends still. But I did a tweet. This was before Instagram, I think before Facebook. It was just Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was just at an event and I was on Twitter. I said, in order to become the right one, in order to find the right one, you have to become the right one. Mm. And it just blew up. Wow. And I did another one, then another one. And then I stopped and everybody was like, no, where you at? We need this. And so I kept doing that. Did a book of all my quotes. And then the pandemic happened and I got serious about it. You know, I've been on Christian television on the Word Network for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And being in the house, I wrote three more books. I wrote two books in the house. Preparing and positioning for the right one, mm. The do's and don'ts of dating. And now I have four relationship books. The last one that just came out was When the Wrong One Comes.
I need that one.
Yeah, When the Wrong One Comes. And so that's how I started. I believe that pain pushes you into purpose.
Oh my goodness. Goodness.
You yes. are called, yes. you are called to what has hurt you. You are called to heal others that have been through what you've been through. Mm. So now I'm helping others to heal from what I've been through. And I'm a preacher. So Paul said, not that I've apprehended, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark. And so I'm taking people on my journey. This is my journey. Yeah. The biggest thing, and I'm done after this, the biggest thing that two bad things I've done. I made bad choices. Mm-hmm. Right? Made bad choices. Number one, I rushed into relationships. And number two, I made bad choices. They're really the same thing. When you rush into a relationship, you make bad choices. So I've shown people right in you know, I've shown people, you know, relationships that I've been in and some that I haven't, and I take people on my journey. What I talk about is what I've been through or what I'm going through and what others share with me.
Wow, that's good. It's funny that you said that you made bad choices and you rushed into things, because I literally had someone call me this morning and ask me to talk about men making bad choices in relationships. And this was a guy that called me, and he was telling me that he had just had a conversation with his friend because he tried to warn him about this particular woman that he was dating. And the guy ended up marrying her, having a baby, and now they're going through a divorce and it's like really, really, really bad. And he was like, well, I don't feel bad for him because we all saw it, but he still made the wrong choice. And he's like, a lot of his male friends are picking women based off what they look like, and then they're regretting it later because they made bad choices.
There's nothing wrong with picking what you like to look at, as long as what you like to look at is not just external, but they can also have something on the inside. There's nothing wrong with our tastes. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that the taste also tastes good to the palate. Not just to your eyes. It's a lot of food that looks good. Okay? But it don't taste good. Mm-hmm. All right? You go to some restaurant talking about, ooh, the presentation is so good. But there's the taste. They don't have enough seasoning on it. All right? Mm. It's not been cooked, prepared the way you like it. So there's nothing wrong with good. Then you have food where, you know, it's running off the plate. It hasn't been plated right, but the seasoning is the bomb and it tastes good. So it's all in preference. Bad choices is not just a woman thing, a lady's thing. Bad choices is not just a man's thing. It's a person thing. So I say to your friend, people don't really listen to our opinions. You know, they have to get burnt. It's like telling the kid the stove is hot. Don't touch it. Just because you tell them, then they're going to touch it. Right? Yep. And so there's some people that told me, I remember I had tried to do it again. And when it didn't work after a year, my dear friends, one was Dr. Jamal Bryant. I said, why didn't y'all tell me that y'all felt that way? He said, y'all, you wouldn't have listened. You thought he was in love. Most people don't listen. All right? And then you got to be careful with the friend trap, because some friends give bad advice.
Ooh, wee.
That's why you got to That's why you got to have discernment. Some friends are haters. All right. Listen. Some friends don't want you happy. They don't want you to get out of the crab barrel and you the first one to get married. But I feel like your friend was legit. All right. Because it's evidence. But at the end of the day, I lost weight years ago. I was almost 300 pounds. My ex-wife told me, she said, you need to lose weight. Another friend of mine said, you need to lose weight. I didn't listen until I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me, you have type 2 diabetes. Ooh. And then I decided to lose weight, and I overcame diabetes. So
congratulations.
Thank you. You got to choose from a healed place. Healed choices look better than unhealed.
Yes.
That's why, Didi, you got to do the work yourself.
I agree with you 100%. You are so right. I'm thinking back to when like people were trying to tell me stuff and I'm like, I don't care what they talking about. I'm still going, I'm staying right over here. and I got burnt. So you're right. Folks just have to go through the things and experience it for themselves. And that'll help them. Like you said earlier, that'll help them teach somebody else. So we got to kind of, it's like the trickle effect. So I get it.
Absolutely.
So what do you believe is your core calling in this season of your life?
My core calling? Mm-hmm. Well, my core calling is pouring the oil of joy into the world. Mm-hmm. That's my core calling. And the vehicles in which God uses it is through television, radio, social media, relationship, the preaching of the gospel. I believe these are all vehicles to do the one thing that I'm called to. And the core is to encourage people. Now I'm encouraging people in relationship. Your core doesn't change. You just have different vehicles that are used in order to get your core out.
That's good.
Yeah, you have different vehicles. Yeah, and this is one of the vehicles. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing what I was called to 39 years ago. I'll be preaching 40 years next year. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing that. But here's the thing about life. You get more on the journey than you do at the destination.
Oh, way. Yes.
Meaning the journey unfolds who you are. I never thought after 20 years of marriage that I would be talking about relationship, that people would seek me out to be on their podcast and buy my books, all right, to talk about relationship. So this was revealed on the journey. Everybody think the destination is something, but the journey is where you are made. It's where you matured. It's where you become on the journey. When you get to the destination, you'd be like, oh, ain't nothing here.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I guess that's why they say enjoy the journey.
But we don't do it. Mm-mm. We do not do it because we're so engulfed with getting somewhere and we don't know that the journey is what you should be enjoying. You should be enjoying.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So why do you believe emotional healing is essential before entering into a relationship?
Well, when you talk about when you talk about emotional healing, everything comes from your psyche, your emotions. All right. You react according to your emotions. And so most people, it goes back to the choosing and picking. You can't pick from a bad emotional state. If you're still messed up from the last relationship, then you're going to still see the new people that you're sitting across the table from as the old person because you're still emotionally messed up. If you can't see clearly past your emotions, then you're going to pick from your emotions. Especially women. Women are more emotional than men, and they choose to pick from their feelings. And all the time, you gotta have discernment. But your discernment can't choose right because you're emotional from the last person. If I go buy something, if I go get something at Whole Food, I don't go to Kroger's and pay the bill. All right. I pay the bill where I bought it. Right. All right. But many people, all right, they charge somebody else new for what the old person did.
Absolutely.
Because of emotions. Mm-hmm. They're not healed. Your emotions have to be healed. Mm-hmm. So it's no fair. I see Carolyn, one of my daughters on here. If I date you, Didi, and you hurt me, mm-hmm. and I don't heal before I get to Carolyn, then I'm going to take out what I have not emotionally been healed from on right. Carolyn.
Absolutely.
So it's very important before you start dating. And men tend to not heal. Mm. There's a book, gentleman that I they hear me talk about this often, a gentleman that I interviewed on my radio show years ago before the pandemic. And the name of the book is Men Don't Heal, They Hoe.
Oh, we, my God.
In other words, they go from one, I heard the brother in the background, they go from one relationship to another and never get emotionally healed.
Mm.
And so women don't have discernment that they're dealing with somebody that's sick.
Ooh-wee.
And many women, they act out what men do nowadays because they have been affected by a man that has not been healed in his emotions. So you start hearing people say, women are acting like men. Yeah, because they've been infected by the way men have treated them. Ooh, so they start acting out what men have done to them. All right.
Bishop, see you over here where the collection played at? Because my God, you dropping gems for real. Yeah, that really explains a lot. It really, really does. That really breaks it down. And because you're right. I keep hearing women are so masculine. They're so this. And it's like, it's always a cause and effect. Always.
There is. When a man doesn't step up in his masculinity, then a woman has no choice but to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why one thing I kind of like push back on people, because a lot of times you'll hear folks saying, like, they'll compare other cultures to Black cultures. And I'm like, well, I don't think that's a fair comparison. Like, we have a whole different set of obstacles that we had to overcome. Yeah. And like, no, that's just not it. And that's one of them, having to be masculine.
Well, a woman will rest in her femininity when a man makes her secure.
Now, that's the truth.
If a man doesn't make a woman secure, Joy, then she's not going to rest.
No.
How do you get a woman to rest in her femininity? By making sure you step up to your masculinity.
Mm. Rick, can you put some of the comments up? I agree. Yeah. And I mean, sure. I've experienced it. And it's the truth. Because I feel like a lot of times when we don't feel secure, we're just scared. So the masculinity come out just because of fear.
She's not going to get in her soft girl era. Are you listening to me? Until he makes her feel secure.
Mm.
She's not going to take down the walls until she feels secure.
Absolutely.
All right. So you want a woman, you want a woman to feel soft and stop acting hard, you have to make her feel secure.
Yep. 1,000% agree. The fellas, I hope y'all listening. We want to be soft. We really do. We have no desire at all to be hard and masculine whatsoever. No,
they want to give it over, but she's not going to give over to something. So she's not going to give over to a man that's irresponsible.
Exactly.
And don't make her feel like she can leave that at the door.
Yeah.
Because everything else screams, I have to be hard. Mm-hmm. I have to be hard in the workplace. I have to be hard when I'm out in society. So when she finds a good man, then she can rest in that. Yeah. But until then, Why would I give over why would I give over to that and be in my soft girl era if you're not making me feel secure to do it? Wow. You got to cover me. You got to protect me.
Cover me. Yes.
Yeah. A woman doesn't feel secure enough to be feminine and soft until a man makes her feel secure.
Absolutely. So what?
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. But once he does make her feel secure, mm-hmm. all right, you have to relinquish. And many women, it's two sides of this. Many women don't want to relinquish that because they've been in charge so long.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's true.
But if you're praying for a man to come along, when he comes along, then relinquish that and give it to him. Mm-hmm. Especially if you've seen, if you've made sure that he can handle you and he can secure you and he can cover you, why would you still want to be hard?
Right. And that goes back to the decision. You got to choose the man that can do that so that it's easy to just relinquish it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that discernment.
That goes back to choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do you feel that, how does like childhood trauma or past heartbreak influence how people choose or stay attached to their partner?
Well, most people never research to find out that there are things that are in our bloodline that we don't even know about. All right. Mm-hmm. It's passed over from one generation to another. It may not have been your daddy, but it could have been your granddaddy. So you need to ask questions. The reason why you act the way that you act.
Mm.
And many people get in relationship acting out things that they don't even know why they're acting them out, because it's something in the bloodline that you're not aware of. So they have a lot to do with relationship. You know, it's again in choices. Mm. Have you met their daddy? Have you met their uncle? Have you met their auntie? Have you met the mama? Mm. You know, if their mama and daddy and grandparents and various ones are still living, tell them, hey, family, I want to meet your family. I want to see where you're coming from. I want to see your pedigree. All right. Take me. I want to go to a family dinner. Because you may be acting this way, but I want to see where you came. I don't want to just see how you look like them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how your daddy treats your mama.
Mm.
I want to see how your mama treats your daddy. I want to see how your brothers and sisters get along.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more than, and then I want to see the friends you're hanging around. If they never take you around their circle or their family, then they're really not serious about you, because you want to learn where they come from.
Right.
And I don't care how different he may seem from them.
Can't beat DNA.
Can't beat DNA. There's something. And then, see, I can't fight against something I don't know that I'm even carrying.
Oh,
like my daddy is 86 years old. He recently just told my son, yeah, I got so many kids, I don't even know how many they are. I knew he had a bunch of them. I know, you know, I'm an only child with my mama, all right? I knew he had a lot, but for him to tell my son that, all right? So I'm fighting whoredom, all right? And then with my mama died when I was 19. She was 39 or 40. And she was something else too. So I got it from both sides. But thank God for my grandparents who raised me. But no matter who raised me, we have to learn how to denounce for the next generation. If I don't denounce what was on the past generation, then it will pass on from me to the next generation.
Mm.
So who runs through our veins?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Who we settle with. And most people don't understand this because they don't fight it. You can't just sing that song. I got it from my mama, my mama. Some stuff you need to throw back to your mama, mama.
Yeah, that's deep. I'm sitting here like, oh man, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, some stuff you need to throw back to your mama, mama.
Please daddy. Take it back.
Please take it back. Return to sender.
Yes.
Address unknown. Ooh. Because then you pass that on to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You pass it on to your kids.
Yeah.
So who's in your bloodline? What's in your bloodline is important. And who you date.
Mm-hmm.
Who you date. It's important to know their bloodline. Because if you want some children, ladies. All right.
And you get the mixing all
the mixing in there and you wonder why your child acting the way. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Oh Lord, we in trouble, y'all. Mm. You in danger, girl. Mm-hmm. Let's see what I got. So what role does faith play in preparing someone for a healthy relationship, not just marriage, but real partnership?
The role in a believer, you mean?
Right. Like their faith and how they believe and how they are, like as far as their, it could be religious, it could be however they believe or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I think faith is very important. It is the core, but you know, the issue being there's a lot of women that want men of God. Mm-hmm. And you know, the issue is not a lot of men of God in church. And so here's the thing. I think you should be looking for a good man in addition to a godly man.
Mm.
And women pressure men to go to church as much. I'm gonna get in trouble with this. Women, ladies, he may not go to church 4 Sundays. You know, but mm-hmm. he loved God and he wants to go with you sometime. He's not acting crazy at home. He respects you. He's everything you want. So you're going to let a couple of Sundays out of the month hinder you from being with a man that don't go as much as you? He ain't got no problem with you going. He ain't got no problem with the preacher. He ain't got no problem with the church. He's checked it all out. He found out the preacher ain't going to be hoeing with you and all that stuff. So I need him to. I did a street interview one time. Mm-hmm. And the girl, just so happened the interview did not record. And the second time around, she tried to change it, but she basically said, if he don't go to church as much as I do, I don't want him.
What?
And I told her, I said, you know, you're going to miss out on a good man.
Absolutely.
It don't mean a man, watch this. It don't mean, Gregory, that a man is no better because he go to church every Sunday.
Mm.
Is he a good man? Does he love God enough to love you?
Mm.
Because church attendance don't mean he's going to treat you good.
Come on now.
Huh? Because there's a lot of women that's miserable with men that go to church every Sunday.
Ooh, wee.
They're almost doing that thing like when you're in trouble. What's that thing? Get me out of this.
Right, the little signal.
Yeah. Help, help, help. Sitting right in church next time, I'm talking about, you know? And so I think you need to look for a good man, but faith has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
A man leads better when he believes in God. I didn't say go to church. Mm. I didn't say go to church. I said when he believes in, when we want a man to have fellowship instead of relationship.
Ooh.
Okay. We want a woman to have fellowship instead of relationship when it's about relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's just my opinion. Your faith plays a lot. But you know, at the rate men go to church. I mean, let's be real. I know I'm going to get in trouble for that, but I'm used to it.
That's the truth. I mean, I don't know a whole bunch of men that go to church like a whole bunch of women that do. I know plenty of women that go to church.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're good enough, hey, Kena, if you're good enough, the Bible says that the woman sanctifies the man.
You better come on it.
So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So you can't come home. He not all the way in, but you can't come home talking about the preacher if he says something you didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come home talking about the folk ain't living worth nothing and he's not all the way there. The way you sanctify him is let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father. You draw him by letting your light shine. He's not going to come to church if he's already on the fence. He's not going to come to church if you coming home talking about the church.
Yeah.
Because he don't understand. You got to have wisdom.
Come on now.
You can't draw him and drive him at the same time. You talked about the preacher last week like a dog, and then you say, baby, you ain't going to church with me? What in God's name would I want to come to church with you for?
Right.
Okay.
You pretty much proven his point of why he don't go.
Right.
Dang.
Right. Right.
Okay. Listen, y'all, stop trying to force these. First of all, you can't force human beings to do anything they don't want to do. So if they want to go, they'll go. If not, y'all better stop acting like that's a deal breaker too, because you're gonna be.
I mean, you got a man that say, baby, let's pray every morning. Baby, let's believe God for this. But then because he missed a few Sundays or a couple of Sundays.
Right.
Well, he's the priest over your home.
Ooh, okay.
All right. And you worried about church attendance. All right.
Okay. Y'all done got past the start. The bishop started. Y'all better listen. Stop bothering that man. He don't want to go. Okay. What challenges do you see with modern singles? With them facing, like, the things that didn't exist before? Like, what's happening now that you see with singles that wasn't really happening before in past generations?
That here's the number one, social media. Past generation didn't have social media to deal with.
Yeah.
Right? There was no pressure to be somebody that you're really not.
Ooh, you better teach the people.
There was no Instagram baddies. All right? There were no men, you know, that asked you for or want to send a oh, I'm on the wrong platform to say what I was about to say. All right. They weren't sending their private parts to first meet them. All right. And so it's a lot different. We tend to be in the open exchange market in relationships.
Wait.
I mean, relationship was always an exchange. I mean, you know, marriage is an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Man takes care of woman, she takes care of the house, or they both work nowadays, okay? And so there's always been exchange. Now it's open. Men want sex and women want money.
Oof.
Modern day prostitution. Okay. You flew me out, you're gonna get some. I saw a woman on social media the other day. She's saying, ladies, stop giving up your body just for, now watch this. This sounds good, but she ended it wrong. Stop giving up your bodies just for a dinner date. Make him take you on a trip and then give him some.
This is a higher price prostitute. Just make him pay a little
money. Yeah, what's the difference? You can go out of town and I mean, like, our standards. You know, the difference is our standards are lower than they were. You know? Yeah, our standards are lower. And then in my day, all right, there was no 50-50 men.
Mm.
All right. You know, nowadays men want to be taken care of. And if you take care of a woman, you're known as a simp.
Oh my goodness.
All right. And if a woman puts a hanky down, then she's known as a pygmy. See, these are all terminologies now.
Yep.
So if we keep on calling men simps and women pygmies, nobody ever get picked.
I agree. Yeah.
These are the kind of words that we use now.
Right.
To scare people off. Mm. A woman's a pygmy if she wants to get chosen. And a man, he's a simp if he wants to do for a woman.
That's insane. Like, they really have changed the entire landscape of dating and what it should be.
Yeah. And this is the reason why we say is the dating pool has pee in it. And so you know, if he's not 6 foot, I don't want him.
Oh my goodness.
If you don't have a big behind, I don't want her. You know, it's just so many nuances now.
Yeah. And it's all superficial.
It was so simple in my granddaddy days. I saw her, I wanted her, I married her.
That's it.
My grandparents was together 67 years, 65, something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah. And my grandfather married my grandmother with my daddy in her belly at 15. He married a woman that was pregnant by another man. And they said, yeah, you know, nowadays, wow, it's just different.
Nowadays, they say, you better not date a single mom.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The heart wants what it wants, you know, and you navigate through those things. So I think that social media is the best thing that has happened to us, because two things can be true at one time, and it's the worst.
Absolutely. I agree.
Because you didn't have nothing. You had magazines to look at.
Mm.
You look at Ebony or Jet, and you wanted to be like some of them people,
right? Okay?
Cicely Tyson and all these people, all right? Shaka Khan and different ones. Mm-hmm. Now you got so much to look at, so much to mimic, you know. Social media says the less clothes you have on, the more chance you got to get in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more leave it to your imagination.
Oh no. What did they say now? They say this generation is offended by everything but ashamed of nothing.
Absolutely. There's no more leave it to your imagination. Mm-hmm. Everything is out there.
No. And the funny thing you say that is because when I talk to men, they we had this conversation about women on social media showing a lot. And then the women push back and they say, well, that's what y'all like. And then the men are like, no, that's just what we like to look at, but we don't want that. So I'm trying men, to say, like, no, they, I don't know.
So men go out with the social media model, but they marry the one that don't take their clothes, all their clothes off.
I agree with that, but then I'll push back just a little bit because I have so many married men in my inbox. I'm like, so why would I want that? That's not a prize to me if you're married and you're still pursuing other people. Like, it's so ridiculous. Because the marriage is not the prize that it used to be.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, because marriage should not be the focus. It should be the person should be the focus. We just get married because society says that.
Mm-hmm. But see, so men, that's where men, I think a lot of women,
men don't cheat a lot of men don't cheat because they're not getting pleased or they don't have something good at home. They cheat because of salacious appetites.
Mm. I definitely agree with you on that.
I mean, you are a beautiful woman, wonderful shape. They want more.
That's terrible.
And they want to try to see if they can get more. And some people will give them more based upon what they're offering.
Yeah. And I think that's what the women have, like, there, it's a discourse there, because they're like, well, if the women that are showing their bodies are getting all of this attention and some perks, why do I need to get married?
Attention don't mean anything if the man don't finish the deal.
I agree with that too, but that's not the case though. You got, like, they're getting flued out, they're getting bags, they're getting the thing.
Is that the standard?
Apparently, that's what it seems to be now.
No, well, if we buy into that, then it becomes the standard. If there's no pushback and say, I'm not one of them, because I
threaten to tell their wives on.
No, I stand on what I said. I think, from talking to men, they'll play around with the Instagram baddie, mm-hmm. but they're gonna marry somebody else.
And I agree with that. But what I'm saying,
they marry the one that's a mystery, not the one that they show everything.
I agree. But the thing that women are having a problem with is that they feel like the baddie or whatever is happening on social media versus the married woman, it's really no difference. Like, they're still getting the same things. They just don't have the marriage, is what I'm saying. It's like, so they're devaluing marriage because men are out here praising, worshiping, buying, spending all this stuff with these IG baddies. And this is just what women are telling me. I don't know. I kick them dudes out of my inbox and then they go home to their wife. And it's like, well, what's the point of doing that? If you don't even know what your husband's doing and he's not really respecting you or the vows.
Well, behavior grows when it's not challenged. Mm-hmm. Some women settle for that kind of behavior so that they can have all of the comforts of home and they know what their man is doing. So they settle for that because they know, because they're comfortable with what's at home. They don't confront it. Mm-hmm. Most women know their man is cheating. Mm-hmm. They don't challenge it. I get them in my DM all the time. Bishop, what should I do? I know he's cheating. What, you know he's cheating? Then what do you mean what you should do? Listen to what you're saying. Mm. I know he's cheating, but you're asking me, what should you do? You should have to talk with him. Because he keeps doing this because you allow it. Mm-hmm. And you keep allowing him to come back over and over again. I stand firm on. Now, you know, I don't blanket anything.
Right.
Like, everybody ain't cheating.
No.
Every man ain't cheating. Mm-mm. Every woman ain't cheating. You know, everybody ain't doing that. There's some good marriages. There's some bad marriage. There's some good relationship. There's some bad relationships. Mm-hmm. All right. But I still stand firm on that a man will date that Instagram baddie and have fun, but then turn around and marry somebody that's not doing all that. And they ain't all going back and cheating with the baddie.
And I definitely agree. I'm just like showing, like, with this generation, why marriage is not a priority anymore, because it doesn't seem, even though it may be, but to a large percentage of these younger girls, they don't see the benefit in it because of that behavior from a small portion of men.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree they don't see the value of marriage because of the small portion of men.
No, not value. They don't prioritize it.
They don't prioritize it. It's not
important to them anymore.
Well, because a lot of men ain't trying to get married neither.
Right, because they chasing the IG baddies because it's easy and it's accessible. So they don't really have to.
No, because a lot of men don't want to commit.
Yeah, they don't have to.
They don't, right. If I get, the old saying is, if I can get the milk free from the cow, then I don't have to buy it.
Exactly. Because you've got the IG baddies just giving it out.
Let me say this. You meet a man. Mm-hmm. Okay. In order to get your number, what do you have to say?
To me personally?
I just follow me.
I'm just saying, you asking like what I do.
If you're interested in the man,
if I'm
who has the power? Who has the power? If I ask you for your number, who mm-hmm. has the power?
Me.
To say what?
Well, to say yes or no.
To say yeah. That's say you say okay.
Mm-hmm.
To go on the first date. I ask you, who has the power?
I mean, you have to ask me. So if you're asking me, then I have the power to answer.
If we're going on the first date, who has the power to go on the first date?
I do.
Okay. Who has the power to go on the second date?
Me.
Who has the power when a man asks, hey, can I come over?
I do.
Who has the power for sex?
I do.
Who has the power for committed relationship?
The man.
No.
Yeah.
He can ask, but who has the power?
I mean, men actually, I believe men have men relationship and marriage. And I believe women control sex.
No.
I do.
You believe what?
I believe that men control the power and the access to relationships and marriage. And women control access to sex.
No, they don't.
So if that's the case, then why are so many women single?
That's the problem right there. Y'all don't know your power.
I know what I want and what I desire, but I can't make a man come and marry me.
You're missing the point. When a man asks for a number, the woman says yes or no. When let me finish. It don't matter. You have to say yes or no.
So when we're talking about marriage and relationship, committed relationship.
You can ask, but you can still say yes or no.
But the problem is they're not asking. That's the problem. That's the issue.
That ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about women getting their power back. You may not have anybody ask. There are plenty of people getting married. That's not true.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this definitively across the board. I'm saying that there are a large number saying. Of single women. You're saying
it, it's the women you're talking to. No. Maybe you need to get away from them women. Because you said
a lot of people. First of all of my friends are married. I'm not talking about nobody that I hang with. I'm talking about people I interview, the people I talk to. I'm not just talking about people that I know. I'm retired Air Force, so most of my friends are married. Okay. It's not me. I try to talk to younger people to find out where the disconnect is coming from and why they don't prioritize marriage anymore.
We're going to agree to disagree. Let me finish my whole statement. You never let me finish. Mm-hmm. Number one, when a man asks for a number, the woman has to say yes. Number two, when you go out on a date, the woman has to say yes. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's a good man or a bad man. Mm-hmm. All right? Number three, when a woman goes after the first date, she decides whether there'll be a second date. Mm-hmm. Number four, she decides when he asks if there's going to be a committed relationship. Number five, she decides if they're going to get engaged. Number five, number six, she decides if they're going to get married. She also decides whether she's going to have sex now or later. The problem with most women are they don't know their power. They give their power over to men. And let a man make all the decisions. Women have the power. A woman can, I've been through it before. A woman that I want to be in a relationship with, she holds the power. I can ask her over and over again, no, I'm not ready. How do I get her ready? By showing that I'm consistent. By showing I'm really interested. Most women don't know their power. Neither do they go to the right places. Most women don't find the right one because they say ain't no good men out here. You got to change what you say. If you say ain't no good men out here, you won't find none.
I'll never say that. I know a lot of great
I say most women. I'm not talking about you taking it personally. I'm not talking about you personally.
No, I wasn't taking it personally. I was agreeing that there are a lot of good men out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of good men out here. But you said to me a little while ago that women are saying, ain't no men out here. It is. They're not
There are no men in here. I said the women are saying they don't prioritize marriage. I didn't say anything about men saying there are no women saying there's no good men.
Well, that's not true. Because one of them was just in here, Gregory Bloomfield, a brother who was part of When the Right One Comes, part of my clubhouse thing. And he's happily married 2 years later now. So there are good men that want to be married. I know a lot of them that want to be married.
That's not what I said. I said women are not prioritizing marriage. I didn't say anything about men at all. I said women these days are not prioritized. Back in the day, that was like a goal. You wanted to be married. That was what you were taught. That's what you were trained up to be as a wife. Nowadays, these young girls, if you talk to them, they just don't desire marriage.
I don't. You know why? Because they ain't had nobody step up and ask them. I'll say all day long that I don't want to do something as long as ain't nobody asking me.
But you just said women got the power.
They do. They do have the power.
There's nobody to step up to ask them to do anything.
You're literally taking everything in a blanket statement.
I'm not. I'm just repeating what you said.
Yeah, but you're using it in blanket statements.
I'm just responding to the conversation we're having. Okay. You said that men don't want to be married. They're not stepping up to ask, but women have the power. So
anything I say, I'm not talking about everybody.
Me neither. I'm just talking about this specific conversation.
Okay.
If the women are not prioritizing it, but you're saying the reason why is because men aren't asking, where do we go from there?
Men, first of all, men are hard to get to commit. It is up to the woman, though, to persuade him. Oh, yeah, this is the right one. This is the right baddie. This is who I want to be with. That's up to the woman to do that, too.
So now we got to persuade the man to do something that we have the power to control.
See, you're trying to find fault, and I don't do interviews.
I'm not trying to find fault. I'm trying to find clarity.
No,
because I've never had a conversation with any man ever that said that women control marriage and committed relationships ever.
They do control it.
I'm just saying that I've never had. That's why I'm trying to get clarity, because I've never had
You never had a conversation with me before. So there you go.
Obviously, that's why you're here.
Yeah, but you're kicking against it.
I'm not kicking against it. I'm trying to get clarity, so maybe
you don't agree when I just proved that y'all have all the yeses.
You didn't know. You just made a statement that we have all the yeses. That doesn't prove that women control, because statistics don't lie. It's too many single women for you to tell me that women control marriage.
They control it whether they want to get married or not. That's why a man asks a woman whether she wants to be married.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree. I'm gonna go to the next.
If a man get on his knees and asks,
his knees, she won't get married.
But I don't generalize like that.
When a man get on his knees and ask.
Maybe you ain't following, but there's plenty of men getting on their knees.
No, I've been married. I'm good on that. I don't need to be married again.
There we go. You're projecting what you feel.
I'm not projecting anything. My daughter is married, and I was making sure she was there.
You just said I'm good on marriage, so you're projecting.
No, because you just said maybe nobody asked you.
You're projecting what you feel.
Why would I project that if I told my daughter to get married and she's happily married right now?
I'm not talking about your daughter. I'm talking about you.
So how am I projecting though? You just said I'm projecting. That means
I'm good. I don't have to get married again.
Because you just said maybe nobody's asked you. And I said, well, I'm good. I don't want to get married. I'm not talking about me.
That's the point. You don't want to get married. So, of course, we talk out of our own experiences.
I want every young girl to be married. I think they should be married. I preach that all the time. That's why my daughter is married.
Okay. That's your daughter. Congratulations.
Why are you talking about I'm projecting, though?
Because of the way you feel. I don't want to be married.
You just said to me that maybe nobody's asked you or got on the knee with you. So how was I supposed to respond to that?
You just said you want to be. So I understand your statement.
Because now. I don't believe in marriage. I'm good. I did it before. I would rather have a committed relationship and we cool. But I would never project that on anybody else. I think women should get married for yourself.
I overstood now. I understand.
You said that nobody probably got on their knee for me. And I said, I don't want to be married.
Okay. I got it.
But I want every young girl to get married if that's what they desire.
We're not talking about young girls. We're talking about women, period.
I'm talking about younger. I can't help old folks. They already going to do what they're going to do. I'm talking about younger women.
I got it.
Next question. What are the top signs that someone is actually ready for a relationship?
They're healed. They're whole.
Trey, can you put the comments in?
You don't really know. You don't really know that you're healed until you go out on a date. You can say I'm healed all day long. You can say I'm healed all day long, but until you sit at the other end of the table with that person and you're no longer feeling like, oh, you know what? This reminds me of the other person. You're no longer being triggered. As long as you are being triggered, you're not healed and you're not ready to date. And I tell people all the time, you need to go out on a date and not just say I'm healed, but you need to go out on a date to know that you're healed. And the only way you can do that, you have to sit across the table from somebody.
Absolutely.
And if you get there and you say, you know what, this was a great meal, but I appreciate it, but I'm not ready yet. And that shows maturity to know that you're not ready yet. And you go back in, that says you're still working on yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you're doing the person on the other side of the table a favor by telling them, hey, I'm not ready.
I agree with that. Got to put it into practice.
Yeah.
Got to put it into practice.
Yeah.
So what is one final word of wisdom that you would like to share with someone that maybe feels like discouraged about dating and trying to find the right one?
Get out. Most people don't get out. They ask God to send a man, send a woman, and they're not doing the work. They're not getting out. They in the house. Talking about they lonely. You got to be seen. You got to be seen. And if you're not seen, you know, you can complain, oh, I'm by myself for the holidays again. What have you done? Like, what have you done to get out and meet somebody? You know, there are places you can go, and always go out like you're going to meet somebody. I don't care if it's to the gas station. Take that bonnet off.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
I don't care if it's to the gas station. Take the bonnet off. I don't care if you just run into the store for some sugar. You don't know who run in the store for some flour. And when flour and sugar meet, they might make a cake. you just don't know. You don't know who's there, and you don't know when that moment is gonna come. So always be ready. And until that time comes, prepare. Prepare. And I got a book called Preparing and Positioning for the Right One. You got to prepare for them, and then you got to get in position. As Beyonce said, you got to get information. And many people don't. They just sit back and say, God send me, especially Christians. God is sending me a man. I don't believe that. You gotta get out. And you will meet them on the path.
Absolutely.
And you don't know where or when.
Last two questions. I ask everyone that come on my show these last two questions. Number one, what is the best advice you've ever received?
That's a good question. The best advice I've ever received regarding relationship or in life?
In life.
A man, that makes it easier. actually lived right across the street from the restaurant that I received it from. Anita Baker had a restaurant here, the Pancake House or something like that she owned. Mm-hmm. And this was in the 90s. I went I called a preacher. His name is Bishop Andrew Merritt. He's still alive. He's in his 80s, mm-hmm. might be almost 90. And I was trying to decide whether I was going to stay in Detroit or leave. My bishop, Bishop Morton, had given me an opportunity to move from Detroit. I had a great church here. And I asked Bishop Merritt, could we go eat? And I shared with him. I said, Bishop Morton is asking me, to come to Louisiana and pastor. Mm-hmm. And he asked me a question. He said, how much money you got in the bank, young man? This was in the 90s. So I was 38, 40. Mm-hmm. And he said, you got $10,000 in the bank? I said, no. He said, Bishop Morton is an honorable man. He said, what you got to lose? That decision literally changed my whole life. Mm-hmm. That was the best advice, to leave what I was familiar with. Like Abraham, mm-hmm. I left my kin and my country in pursuit of my promise. Mm-hmm. It changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Changed my life. I wouldn't be talking to you right now. It literally changed my life.
Wow. Last question. What advice would you give 15-year-old Greg?
15-year-old? Jesus. Mm-hmm. 15-year-old Greg. Take your time. Don't be in a rush. I've done a lot of things in rush. Mm-hmm. I would tell 15-year-old Greg, take your time. And I also would tell 15-year-old Greg, this thing gonna go by fast. You're gonna be 63 before you know it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I appreciate you for coming.
Those are two good questions. Oh my God, I'm gonna put them in my.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming on, dropping all these gems, teaching the people some stuff, and just being yourself and just spreading your gift. I appreciate that.
Let me say this. I saw somebody say we were being combative. We weren't being combative. A good interview has tension. This was a great interview.
Thank you.
We don't have to agree with one another.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I personally added some tension to it, or it would have been boring. We don't have to agree to be on the interview.
Absolutely not. That's what makes a good interview.
That's what makes a good interview. And you're a good interviewer.
Thank you. You can let the folks know how to follow you. If you got anything coming up, if you want to just promote anything.
Just my book. If you don't have my book, When the Wrong One Comes, you can go to GregDavisShow@gmail.com. GregDavisShow.com. GregDavisShow.com. When the Wrong One Comes. It is a guide to not choosing the wrong one. Mm. And right there, you see at Bishop Greg Davis, that's where I'm at on all social media, at Bishop Greg Davis.
Perfect, perfect. And y'all know who I am. I'm Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. the Core Queen. This Saturday, I have an event in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called Celebrating Voices. I will be speaking on a panel about my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. So you can get my book on thecorequeen.com/book. And we'll be having a great discussion on Saturday. And I'm excited because my daughter will be there. So she can actually hear me read some of the excerpts from the book and maybe get a real life feel of the book. So, and y'all know the new year is coming up. So y'all make sure y'all spend time with your family. Take some time off, decompress, unplug. Don't have brain rot scrolling on social media. And just do me a good favor and follow me on YouTube and all my social media platforms. And make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share it with your people. Tell people we're here every Wednesday Eastern Standard Time at 8:30 on Facebook and on YouTube. But I prefer you to watch me on YouTube. And we will be back next week. Will be the last show of the year before I leave for Ghana. So y'all tune in next Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on YouTube. And I'll see y'all later.
Peace. I had one wish, I can be there to spend more time with you. If I had one wish, shopping bag, popping tag, do it all for you, yeah. If I had one wish, I can make all of you.
come true, girl.
If I had one wish,
you would never sleep at night alone. I won't leave you lonely.
If I had one,
baby, you know that I'm busy. I be ripping and running streets, I'm trying to get it. Gotta take care of my children. Baby mama, they just be tripping, they don't get it. And I know it seems like I put you last, but it ain't the case. I be so busy grinding, trying to make a way. I hope you can understand, just be patient, babe. Oh, girl, go ahead and set the date. Let me know just the time and place that you wanna just rearrange for. So we can reunite. You got me so excited. Give you everything you wish for.
If I had one wish.